This week we will be doing Chagiga, Daf Chaf Dalet. We left off on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, about 8 or 9 lines up. We're discussing another item on the list of the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Beis about the Milos, the extra Chumros of Kodesh over Truma. And one of them was that the Akliz Mitzarif, Masha Betocho LeKodesh, Avalolo Truma. That if you have a certain number of items in a Kli that are all in a basket, let's say, when it comes to Truma, we assume that if one of the items becomes Tameh, and that item is not touching the other items, the rest of the other items remain Tahor. Whereas by Kodesh, we assume HaKli Mitzarif Masha Batocho. The Kli acts as joining all the items together, so that it's a Chumrah, that if one of the items becomes Tameh, we view them as all being connected, and it turns out that all the items are Tameh. So the Gemara says over here, Minahani Mili. So apparently the Gemara seems to think that this isn't just a Maila Midirabanan, this is actually a Deoraisa concept, that a Kli can join items that are in it. Amr B'chanin, De Amr Kra. The Pasuk says, Kaf Achas, Asazra Asaraza Havmaliyah Ketores. So it talks about one spoon when it's scooping for the Ketores, for the incense, for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Karbanos. But yet, it's interesting because the word Kaf refers to a singular spoon. So the word achas is a little bit redundant because a kaf means one spoon. So the word achas is extra. So says the Gemara, hakasuv aso l'kol masha b'kaf achas. It must be, we learn from the word achas, that anything put in the spoon, even things that are not necessarily touching, are viewed as all being one. And there we see a deoraisa concept of a kli being mitzarev, joined together masha b'tocho, whatever's inside. So Masa, Rav Kahana asked the following. We have to know the background. Rashi points out, there's a Mishnah in Edios, which says, that Rav Shimon says, that if you have ashes from the Parah Aduma, so if a Tameh, and let's say they're spread out, if someone who's Tameh touches some of those ashes, so the Chiddush is that he passels all of the ashes. We assume that all of the ashes become Tameh. So that's a Chiddush, that even though he only touched some of them and they weren't touching the others, because they're all joined in one Kli, we assume that they're all Tameh. And now the Gemara picks up, continuing in that Mishnah, and Hosef Rebbe Kiva adds, Hasoles, V'yaktores, V'levona, V'gechalim. You have the flour, you have the incense, you have levona, another spice, and gechalim, coals. Shimnaga Tful Yom Bimitsaso, Pasulas Kulo. If you have someone who's Tame, like a Tful Yom, someone who went to the mikvah but is still waiting for Harav Shemesh for nightfall to become fully Tahor, if he touches part of something, part of the flour, part of the incense, part of the spice, part of the coals, in all those cases, we say that it's as if he touched all of it and it passes all of it, because it's all in the same Kli, and it sounds like that we have the concept of a Kli that's mitzarif masha betocho, that since all these items, all the flour, all the incense, all the spices, all the coals are all in one Kli, even though the Tful Yom only touched part of them, we view it as touching all of them. Now Rashi does point out over here that it's interesting that on this list are two things that are not actually food. Levona and Gechalim are not edible, some type of incense, spice, and coals. So you might say, well, if they're not food, then how are they susceptible to tumah? So Rashi points out, afal gav de lav ochel ninu chibas kodesh machsharton l'tumah. Normally, when it comes to food, in order for it to be machshar l'kabel tumah, it has to become wet. And yet, over here, the levona gechalim are not wet. And yet, if a tful yom touches them, that's going to make them tumah. So Rashi points out, there's a very unique concept when it comes to hekdish, which is that hekdish doesn't need to be wet. It doesn't even need to be a food. So there's something called chibas hakodesh machshartam. The very fact that something is hektish, that alone automatically elevates it to have a status of machshar l'kabel tumah, whereby if something tamei touches it, it automatically becomes tamei as well. I saw something very interesting that the Sefer Daf al Daf, a collection of insights on different mesechtas, he says, the author says that based on this, Rashi, we can understand a line in the Zemer of Baruch Kel Elyon. We say, Kol Shomer Shabbos Kadas Michalalo Hein Hechsher Chibas Kodesh Goralo. Anyone who keeps Shabbos Kadas Michalalo, he's like Hechsher Chibas Kodesh Goralo. his lot is like someone who is machshir chibas kodesh. So what does this line mean? We say it all the time. So he says that there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu in Perek Nunvav, which we say as the haftorah for a tainis tzibor, where we say ve'al yomar hasaris hin ani et yavish. Someone who's castrated, someone who's infertile, can't have children. Don't say, I'm an etz yavish, I'm a dry piece of wood. I'll never have children. Ki ko amar Hashem lasarisim. Hashem says to the infertile, Hashir yishmu hashab so sai, if you keep my Shabbos, shem olam etin lo. I will give you an everlasting name. So apparently there's a connection between the infertile saying, I'm like a dry piece of wood, and then Hashem saying, if you keep my Shabbos, you'll have a name. So you see that in the zechus of keeping Shabbos, those who were infertile, like a piece of dry wood, Hashem blessed them that they would eventually have children. So what's the Python telling us? He's saying that anyone who keeps Shabbos, hin hechsher chibas kodesh. We have the concept here of hechsher chibas kodesh. Just like when it comes to hekdesh, that even though it's not wet, even though something's completely dry, it looks like it has no, it's not fit to become tameh, and yet we say hechsher chibas kodesh goralo. It's automatically machshir lekabel tumah, even though it's a dry piece of wood because of its very nature of hekdesh. So too, that's shmirah Shabbos. Take a person, Hashem could take a person who's like a dry piece of wood, is completely infertile. The doctors have said this person medically cannot have children. And by keeping Shabbos, it's like Hechsher Chibas Kodesh. The very Kedusha of the Shabbos can give that person a Shem Olam Etein Lo. Give him an everlasting name. A very interesting and unique insight into a Zemer, into the Berakah Olyam, which we say every week. And that's derived from this Gemara right here. Okay, so we quoted Rabbi Akiva. And why did we quote him? Because Rabbi Chanin said that the concept of a kli mitzarif masha batocho is a din d'oraisa learned out from the pasuk kaf achas, and yet Rabbi Akiva seems to be giving an edus that a kli is mitzarif masha batocho. It says the Gemara v'harabanan hi. When Rabbi Akiva says that, he seems to be saying it on a d'rabanan level. Mimai, how do you see that? Mitani reisha, because the opening statement of that Mishnah is Heder Bishem Ben Besera Al Efer Chatas Shenaga Tam Mitzas Shtim Es Kulo. Rabbi Shimon testified that if a person touches part of ashes for Paraduma, it's going to all become Tameh. And Viktani Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is adding on, so it's really twofold. First of all, an Edus in general sounds like it's going on a Din D'Rabban and not D'Oraisa. Rashi points out further when it comes to Efer Para. That, the fact that a kli is mitzarif, all the efer para, that has to be a din derabanan. Because says Rashi, we would not be able to learn out efer para from kaf achas, because kaf achas is limited to things that are kochi mizbeach, things that go on the mizbeach, like the ketores. The efer chatas, the efer para, is its unique process, doesn't go on the mizbeach, and therefore you would not know it. And therefore, from the fact that Rabbi Shimon is clearly discussing a case of derabanan kli mitzarif masha batocho, and then Rabbi Akiva was just adding other examples, it's very clear that Rabbi Akiva is discussing a din derabanan. So the Gemara is posing the question: if Rav Chanin says this is a din d'oraisa of kaf achas, well, it sounds from here that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon think that the din of kli mitzarif masha batocho is actually a din derabanan. So how do we explain this? So Amar Yesh Lakim Shemir Kapara, turning over to Chavdal and Aleph. Lo Netzrucha Ela L'Shiyari Mincha. So the Gemara is saying now that it's true, Rabbi Akiva might, and Rabbi Shimon might agree, at least Rabbi Akiva, might agree that the concept of Kli Mitzarif Masha B'Tocho is indeed D'Oraisa. Well, what was he referring to when he gave these D'Rabbanan examples? No, it's not true. Not all the examples D'Rabbanan. It was only needed for Ela L'Shiyari Mincha. So you know, a mincha, a carbon that's brought a flower.
Why would that be the only example of something that the Kli Mitzarif Mashe Betocho on a Derabbanan level? So the Gemara explains, because the Oraisa, on a Deraisa level, Rabbi Kiva would say, Tzarech Likli, HaKli Mitzarfo, Shein Tzarech Likli, Ein HaKli Mitzarfo. So we'll go with the explanation of most of the Rishonim here, which is that if when you put an item into a Kli, that's Mekadesh the item, meaning let's say you have flour. The second you put it in the pot for the Mizbeach, now all of a sudden that flour becomes sanctified. So that's considered Tzarech Likli, because that item needs the Kli in order to give it sanctification. So if you have an item that needs the Kli in order to sanctify it, that's when we view the Kli being able to take all different parts not touching each other and view them all as one and the same Kli. However, that's on a Doraisa level. Shein Tzarech Likli, but if you have an item, for example, the Shiari Mincha. The Shiari Mincha is when the Kohen does the Kemitza, he takes a little bit off with his finger. That part is not going to be part of the Karbon. That Shiari Mincha, the leftover part of the Mincha of the flour, that the Kohen gets to eat himself. So that's not needed by the Kli, and therefore, really on a Tek Doraisa level, Ina Kli Mitzarfo. The Kli does not join different parts of the Shiari Mincha, the leftover flour, together, and therefore, if part of that Shiari Mincha becomes Tameh, the other part would not on a Doraisa level. However, what Rabbi Kiva is telling us is Ba'asur Rabbanan, on a Rabbanan level, the Rabbanan came along and Gazru, they made a decree, Di'af Al-Gav, De'inu Tarach L'Kli, even if the item, which is part of the process, is not necessarily essential for the Kli or the carbon itself, nevertheless, Kli Mitzarfo, on the Rabbanan level, the Kli's Mitzarifit. The Gemara says, Tenach Soles. This makes sense when it comes to the flour. But Ketoris Ulevona make a Lememar. Because by Soles, you have the Shiari Mincha. But by Ketoris and Ulevona, weren't those also on Rabbi Kiva's list of things that are only Kli Mitzarif Mashe Betocho on a Derabbanan level? So how do you explain why the Ketoris and Ulevona are only Mitzarif by the Kli on a Derabbanan level, when they seem to be needed by the Kli? The Kli's Mekadesh them. So the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua, Kigon Shet Sovran Al Gabe Kartavla. Because we're misunderstanding, we don't know certain facts of the case. The case is not that these items, the Ketoris and the Levona, according to Rabbi Kiva, were placed in a bowl, but rather they were placed on a flat surface. Rashi says an Or Shalak, a cooked hide. So they were laid out flat on a surface. Now, why is that significant? Says the Gemara, D'oraisa yesh lo toch mitzarif. The only time a Kli joins together different items inside of it is when the Kli has an inside, meaning it's a bowl. It has something where you could put something inside of it. But ein lo toch, like a flat mat or a piece of hide, which doesn't really have an inside, so even things that are needed by a Kli, einu mitzarif, the Kli is not mitzarif it. However, v'as rabbanon v'tiknu, the rabbanon came along and instituted di'af agav de'ein lo toch, even something like a flat piece of cooked hide, which doesn't have an inside, mitzarev, will still join together different items, and that's what Rabbi Kiva was telling us, that the Ketoris and the Levona, even when they're laid out on this hide, which is flat, and on a Doraisa level, since it doesn't have a toch, it would not be mitzarev mashe betocho, the Rabbanan decreed, nevertheless, the Kli is mitzarev. Says the Gemara, upliga the Reb Chanin ad Reb Chiya bar Abba. Reb Chanin, who at the beginning of this Gemara we just started with today, says that the concept of the Kli Mitzarif Mashe Betocho is a din d'oraisa derived from Kaf Achas, would argue on Reb Chiya bar Abba. Dam Reb Chiya bar Abba, Am Reb Yochanan, me'iduso shal Reb Kiva, nishnes mishnezu. From Reb Kiva's testimony, we can actually derive this halacha. So what do you see? That clearly, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba holds that this entire din is a din d'Rabbanan, including our Mishnah, as opposed to Rabbi Chanin, who hold that this is actually a din d'Oraisa. Okay, that concludes that Maila Chumra of Kodesh over Truma in the Mishnah of Kli Mitzarif Mashe Betocho. Continuing, the next Chumra was Haravi'i Bakodesh Pasol. So we know there's a Rishon Lotoma, Sheni Lotoma. That all is in terms of chulin. If a sheni latuma touches chulin, nothing happens. Because chulin can't become a shlishi latuma. What can become a shlishi latuma? Truma. So if a Shini L'Tumah touches Truma, it becomes a Shlishi. But that's where it ends. So if a Shlishi L'Tumah touches Truma, nothing happens. But the elevated status, the Chumrah of Hekdesh, is that if a Shlishi L'Tumah touches Kodesh, it could actually make it into a Revi'i L'Kodesh. And that's an elevated Chumrah when it comes to Kodesh, because we're extending the Tumah to a greater extent. Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Minayin L'Revi'i B'Kodesh U'Pasol. How do I know there's such a concept that we can extend the Tumah status of Hekdesh all the way until a Revi'i? Says the Gemara of Edinu, it's a kalachomer. Umam the chusar kipurim shemutar betruma pasul v'kodesh. Someone who's lacking atonement hasn't brought a carbon yet. Who he's tameh himself, and yet he can eat truma, and yet he can't eat hekdesh. So shlishi, a shlishi shepasul betruma, a shlishi which is only pasul betruma, meaning it does in fact invalidate Truma, meaning if a Shani touches Truma, it can make it into a Shlishi. So Eno Din Shiasa Revila Kodesh. So certainly you should have one higher level for Kodesh, and it should be able to make Kodesh a Revi, says the Gemara. V'lamani Shlishi la Kodesh min HaTorah, u'Revi b'kava chomer. Well, the fact that we actually know that you can have a Shlishi la Kodesh, that's beferish in the Torah. The fact that we know a Revi can become Tameh by Hekdesh, that's from a Kal V'Chomer. Shlishi L'Kodesh Min HaTorah Minayin. How do I know you could have such a concept as a Shlishi L'Kodesh? D'chsiv, the Pasuk says, V'Abasar Asher Yiga B'Chol Tameh Lo Yochal. Meat that touches any Tumah, don't eat it. So now, what type of Tumah did this Basar Hekdesh touch? So, Milo Askinan Tenaga B'Sheni. It says any Tumah. So it could be that this meat touched a Sheni L'Tumah. The Kamarachmana lo yochal. The Torah says don't eat it. It must be that when it comes to Kodesh, it's obvious that if a Sheni touches Kodesh, it can make it into a Shlishi. And that's why you can't eat the meat, because the meat would become a Shlishi by touching the Sheni. V'haravi and Ravi mikavachomer hada amran. Like we said earlier, the fact that a Mechusiki Purim is mutter to Truma and pasul over Kodesh, so clearly a Shlishi, which is pasul with Truma, certainly should make Ravi into a Kodesh. Okay, that's the next mile in the Mishnah, a Chumrah of Hekdesh. Continuing, we said something very interesting in the Mishnah, on Chavim Viz, another Chumrah of Kodesh, which is that when it comes to Truma, if one has one Tameh hand, just one, so we said by Truma that will not be Metame in the other hand. When it comes to Hekdesh, even if he only has one Tame hand, he's got to put both hands in the mikvah. He's got to dip both hands in a kosher mikvah. So says the Gemara, and we'll go with the explanation of Rashi here, even though there is an entirely different explanation of the Baal Maor, who explains this entire Gemara differently, but for simplicity purposes, we'll explain it according to Rashi. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shizvi, B'chiburin shanu. When do we say by Hekdesh that if you have one Tameh hand, we say the other hand, which is Tahor, becomes Tameh? That's only if they're touching. What does it mean they're touching? Says Rashi, he explains that you have a piece of meat, a piece of Hekdesh. You have both your hands. One's Tameh, one's Tahor. You have your Tahor hand, let's call that your left hand, is touching the Hekdesh, and your Tameh hand, your right hand, is touching your left hand. So your tameh hand, which is the right hand, is not actually touching the Hekdesh. So what do we mean? What does the Mishnah mean when we say you have to dip both hands in a mikvah? Because we make a gzeira that both hands, we view them as tameh. Why? Because we're concerned that, well, your tameh hand is touching your tahor hand. While your tahor hand is touching Hekdesh, we're nervous your tameh hand is going to slip, or your tameh hand will move, and your tameh hand will end up touching the Hekdesh itself. Aval shelo b'chiburin lo. It could be your tahor hand was touching the Hekdesh at one point. But if right now, your tahor hand is not touching Hekdesh, even if your tameh hand touches your tahor hand is not going to become tameh. And this is very logical, because a tameh hand, generally speaking, something called Stam Yadayim would have the status of a Sheni Latuma. A Sheni Latuma usually cannot make another part of your body a Sheni Latuma or a Shlishi Latuma. So it makes sense to say that B'chibur and Shanu, we're only teaching this Chumr by Kodesh in a case where there's a concern that your tummy hand might actually touch Hekdesh. But if you just have your two hands and Hekdesh is not involved, just because your tummy hand touches your Torah hand, it's not going to make your Torah hand tummy. Isve Abaye. Abaye has a question from the following brisa. Yad neguva mitame chaverta. If you have a dry tummy hand, so it's not wet, it's metame your other tahor hand, so much so, letame lekodesh, that if that hand now touches kodesh, it not only makes it tame, but it gives it the ability to make something else tame. Avalo letruma, but when it comes to truma, that hand would not have that ability. Divi Rebbe, that's Rebbe's opinion. Riosi Rebbe Yehuda Omer, lifso avalo letame, that if your dry tame hand touches your other hand, and that hand then touches something else, it has the ability to passel it. I mean, it can transmit tumah to that other item, let's say kodesh, but it would not allow the kodesh to then be metame something else. So now the Gemara is going to make a deal. Iyamart, let's see. Bishlama shalo b'chiburin, if the case in the Mishnah is shalo b'chiburin, meaning that your tame hand is able to be metame your other hand, even though they're not touching hekdesh, then hayni rebusi de neguva, then that's a chiddush to say that your tamei hand can make your tahor hand tamei, even though your tamei hand is dry. Meaning, it's a chiddush alone to say that one hand can be tamei the other, but let's say it can. You generally need a liquid medium to be machshu lekabel tumah, to transmit the tumah from one hand to the other. So if the case in the Mishnah is shelo b'chiburin, meaning that one hand, your tamei hand, is metame, your tahor hand, and you're not touching hekdesh now, then now I understand the chiddush of saying your tamei hand is dry. Because that's a chiddush, that the fact that that tamei hand that's dry can be metame, your tahor hand, that's a chiddush. However, eliyah marpechi burin, if the whole case over here is that your tahor hand is touching hekdesh, and your tamei hand is touching the tahor hand, and we're concerned the tamei hand is going to slip down and touch the hekdesh, then my rebusa de neguva, then what would be the chiddush of saying it's dry? The issue here is not the fact that it's going to be touching your tahor hand. The issue that is that the tamei hand is going to be touching hekdesh. And obviously no liquid medium is necessary because your hand is already tamei. And it's touching hekdesh. And when something tamei touches hekdesh, it would make the hekdesh tamei. So there would be no need for a chiddush of saying neguva if the case was chiburin. So therefore, Abaye's question is that it seems, even though Rav Shizvi says the case in the Mishnah of the Maila of Kodesh, of one hand being Tameh, the other hand being Tar, and both them being required to go in the mikvah is a case of Chiburin, Abaye says that can't be. Because this Braisa seems to prove that it would only make sense in a case of Shalom B'Chiburin. Okay, so that seems to be a rejection of Rav Shizvi. And Idmar Nami, we seem to have an additional proof to this concept that we only say this Mishnah in a case of Shelo B'chiburin from the following. Amrei Shlakish, Lo Shanu Ela Yado. When do we say that if a Tameh hand touches a your other hand, your left hand, which is Tahor, that it has the ability to make it Tameh? That's only your own hand, your two hands on your own body. Your right hand, that's just Tameh, touches your left hand, which is Tahor. Aval, turning the page to Chavdal and Vez. Aval Yad Chaveiro Lo. Let's say your hand, your tummy hand, touches your friend's tahor hand. That would not have the ability to make that hand tummy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Echad yodo ve'echad yad chadero. Your tummy hand has the ability to be metame your left hand, tahor hand, and your friend's tahor hand. But says Rabbi Yochanan, ba'oso hayad. That's only when your tummy hand, your right hand, which is the tummy one, is the one that's touching your friend's tahor hand. Rashi says, to the exclusion of the fact that let's say your right hand, which is tummy, is touching your left hand, which is tahor, and then your left hand, which is tahor, is touching your friend's hand, which is tahor. Then we wouldn't say A to B, B to C, it's as if A to C. We wouldn't say then that your friend's hand is tummy. It's only if your tummy hand is touching your friend's hand. So says the Gemara, this is only lifsol avalolotame. When we say that your tummy hand touches your hand, or your other hand, or your friend's hand, that it makes it tummy, it means it has the ability to transmit tumma to it, to the hand, but that hand would not have the ability to transmit tumma to anything else. So the Gemara says, Mimai. So what's going on over here? Where do we see this concept? We tell you, see, so where do we see the concept that we can include, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we can include a friend's hand in something that's able to become tame? Because we said in the Mishnah, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, that your hand, which is tame, can be metame, the other hand, for kodesh, but not for truma. So hasu lamali, why is that statement necessary? Tanale resha. We said in the resha of the Mishnah, in that case, that you dip both hands in the mikvah when it comes to kodesh. So why do you have to tell me twice that your tummy hand's metame the tar hand? El lashma mina lasui yad chaveiro, that your tummy hand is not only metame your left hand, which is tahar, but it's also metame your friend's hand, which is tahar. But at the end of the day, what you see from this is that this is all shalo b'chiburin. Because if it was b'chiburin, then why would it make sense your friend, your friend's hand? Meaning, if the concern is that when your tummy hand is touching your tahar hand, and the tahar hand is touching hektish, that's why your other hand's tummy, then why would that extend to a friend, right? That the friend not touching kodesh. So why would that hand become tummy if the whole issue is you might come to touch kodesh? So it seems like the concern here is really that just your tummy hand is touching your tahor hand, and that's what it's shalo b'chiburin. And if that's the logic, then seemingly it can be extended to the friend's hand as well. It says the Gemara, v'af reish lakish hadar bay. Even though Reish Lakish initially said that this din cannot be extended to one's friend's hand, it would only be with his own hand, he actually retracted and eventually agreed to Rabbi Yochanan that this can be extended even to one's friend's hand. How do you see this? This applies whether your right hand that's tameh is touching your left hand, which is tahar, or whether your right hand, which is tameh, is touching your friend's hand, which is tahar. But also a yad lifsol avalola tameh. Obviously, like we said earlier, this means that whatever the tahar hand, the tameh hand touches, that hand is tameh, but it does not transmit tuma to other things. You have to dip it in the mikvah, but if it then touched something else, it wouldn't be metameh. Says the Gemara, the lifsol avalola tameh tanahi. Well, that fact that we just stated, that when the tummy hand touches something else, it's only lifsol, meaning it only transmits tumma to that item, but that item cannot then transmit tumma to something else, that's not so simple. That's actually a machlokas tanayim. Where do we see this? Titznan, we have a Mishnah, Mesechus Yadayim, which says, kol aposel betruma mitame yadayim liyoshniyos, viyad mitame chaverta divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Anything that can possible truma, meaning a sheni latoma, is metame adam, yoshnios, can also be metame hands, your other hand, as a sheni, because one hand metame the other. That's your Yeshua. Chachamim say, yadayim shnios hein, ve'in sheni osa sheni. So, it sounds like over here, my love, sheni hu delo avid, hashlishi avid. So let's break it down over here. You have one of your hands is a sheni latuma. So it sounds like what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is that yad metami chaverta, a very interesting chiddush, as a sheni, meaning one of your hands is a sheni latuma. When it touches the other hand, it could actually keep it on the same level. Normally, when tuma at a certain level touches something else, it goes down a level. So if a Rishon touches something, it makes him do a sheni. The sheni touches something, it makes him do a shlishi. Here, Rabbi Shua seems to be saying something unique, that you have one hand's a sheni lotoma, it touches the other hand, that hand also becomes a sheni lotoma. Now that hand that's sheni lotoma, not only seemingly would have the ability to be metame something, pasel something else, but it would have the ability to be metame something else, because it can make something else into a shlishi, but then that can make something else into a revi. Whereas the Chachamim say, your hands are a sheni. A sheni can't make a sheni. So the Gemara at this point thinks, my love sheni hu delo avid. Meaning what Chacham mean is, yeah, your hands can make your other hand a sheni, hashlishi avid, but it can make the other hand a shlishi. Now, if it makes the other hand a shlishi, what can that shlishi do? It can't be metame, because being metame means that not only does it transmit toma, but it gives the thing it transmits to the ability to transmit toma as well. Well, that wouldn't make sense, because you can't go higher than a ravi. So what could a shlishi do? Just be lifsol. It can make something else into a ravi. So it sounds like the Gemara is saying, right here you see a machlokes tanayim, whether it's lifsol or latame. Rabbi Shu would say it's latame, because since your second hand is a sheni, it can go two steps. It can make the next item a shlishi, which can thereby make another item a ravi. That's called latame. Whereas the Chachamim say, if your first hand is a sheni and your second hand is a shlishi, all that can do is be lifsol. It can make one other item a ravi, but it can't go any further than that. So you see a machlokes tanayim, whether we say lifsol or also latame. Says the Gemara, no. Dilma lo sheni avid for lo shlishi. Maybe the Chachamim are just arguing with the entire din of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that one yad is matame chaverta by kodesh. The Chachamim are saying, no, it's not. You have one hand that's tame, and the other hand remains tahor. And therefore, when the Chachamim say the yadayim remain shnios and a sheni doesn't make a shlishi, it means that because your first hand's a sheni, and that cannot make impure your other hand, in fact remains tahor against the Mishnah. And therefore, the machlokes Rabbi Shu and Chachamim is not a good example of a machlokes, whether we say lifsol or latame. So let's find a different one. So Ella ki honi tnai. Rather like the following machlokes tanayim, Titania. As we say in Ebraisa, yad neguva mitame es chaverta latame kodesh avalolo truma. Rebbe says that if you have one of your hands is tame and dry, it can be metame the other hand. In what sense? To actually be metame, meaning go two steps. It sounds like that other hand becomes another sheni. It could then be make something a shlishi, and make something else a ravi. Avalo truma, but we don't extend that to truma. That's what Rebbe says. Rebbe says, Rehuda omer, oso hayad, lifso avalo tame. It can only go one step. So that yad could then make something else into a shlishi, but it won't make something else into a ravi. Or, alternatively, we could say that that is already a shlishi, and therefore it's only lifsol, it only makes something else into a ravi. So you see very clearly the machlokes, whether we assume we say litame, which means that you can go two steps, make something tame, and then that item can make something else tame, or we say lifsol, and it stops at that one item, because it only has the ability to make something else tame, but then that item would not be able to make something else tame as well. Okay. That concludes that Maila in the Mishnah of the Chumrah by Kodesh. Now we go to the second to last Chumrah in the Mishnah, which is, we said that if one is eating dry food with hands that you have not done Tehillas Yadayim on, so by Kodesh that's a problem, and we say you're not allowed to do that, and when it comes to Truma that's okay. So what are we talking about over here? So Tanya, Reb Chanina bar Antigonus, so what does this mean? We're saying that by kodesh you have to assume it's tamei, even though the food is dry. Implication is that we're talking about something being machshir lekabel tuma with liquid, and therefore, oh, it's dry, so it's not machshir lekabel tuma. The Gemara says, wait a second, we're talking about kodesh, and like we said earlier by Baruch Kalelion, we said when it comes to kodesh, there's a special din. You don't need liquid to make hekdish machshir lekabel tuma. The very fact that it's hekdish does that for you. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says the food's dry? Who cares if it's dry when it comes to kodesh? Dry and wet are not factors when it comes to hekdish. So Gemara says, you know, we didn't understand the case. Lo tzricha kigon shetachav lo chaveiro letoch piv. No, let's say your friend stuck some hekdish into your mouth. So you never touched it. Your hands aren't washed, but you never touched it. And your friend, Rashi points out, also has tahor hands. So he managed to get hekdesh into your mouth without ever coming in contact with tuma. Or let's say you use a utensil. So even though your hands are not tahor, but you use the fork. And let's say it's a kli eitz, which is not makabel tuma. So you managed to get the hekdesh into your mouth in a tahor way. But now, ubikish lechol tznonu batel shochuli mahen. Now you want to eat a radish or an onion of chulin at the same time. So you're about to stick with your own hands the chulin into your mouth at the same time the kodesh is already there. Now you could imagine the concern is that your hands are not washed. So your hands are tameh. So the question is, when you stick the chul into your mouth, are we concerned that as you're sticking it in, you might touch the meat, the hekdish, which is already in your mouth, which will essentially make the meat tameh? So says the Gemara, l'kodesh gadru rabbanan. When it comes to kodesh, the rabbanan were concerned. The elevated status of kodesh, we say we're nervous that when you're sticking the chul in your mouth with your unclean hands, you might touch the kodesh with the unclean hands and essentially render the kodesh tameh. So to avoid that, we say that you're not allowed to do that. We have to treat it as tumah. You're not allowed to put even dry foods of chul into your mouth when you have unclean hands and you have hekdesh in your mouth. However, l'truma l'gozer rabbanan. When it came to truma, since it's a little bit less strict than kodesh, the rabbanan said, just be careful. We trust you. We're gonna trust you that you're gonna be able to fit the chul in your mouth and not also touch the truma at the same time. Because remember, if your hand's a shenu l'tuma, it would invalidate the truma and make it a shlishi if your hand actually did touch the truma. So it's not that there's no concern here by truma, it's simply that the chacham decided to trust you by truma that you're not going to touch, whereas by kodesh, since it's elevated status, they said they're making zera, don't do this at all. Okay? Interesting halacha l'maisa out of this, which is that we mentioned that if someone sticks something in your mouth, so if let's say someone stuck something in your mouth that required you to wash tefillos yadayim for, so who has to wash? So you have two options. Either me, the one whose mouth is open, or him, the one who's touching the food. So the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kav Zayin, and Beis, Paskin, Shulchan Aruch, we say this also, that the person eating the food needs to wash, not the person feeding you. A little bit counterintuitive. You would think the one who's touching the food has to do the washing, but actually the person eating the food has to wash, even though he's not going to be touching the food. So that would be halacha l'maisa. Let's say a person is washing for bread, and we know the whole reason we wash for bread is really as a gzera, you know, for truma, because you have to wash for truma. So even if a person is going to be fed the bread, so you would think the washing is not appropriate for him, nevertheless, he'd still have to wash his hands. The truth is, if you always need to wash in this situation, the Turi Evan asks, so then why would that be a maila of kodesh? If always a person has to wash if someone sticks something in his mouth. But the question really is, why would this be mutter when it comes to truma? So the Turi Evan answers that we assume the kohanim are his reason. So since the kohanim are the ones who are allowed to eat truma, back to what we said earlier, the chum are only trusting, not me and you, but they're trusting kohanim, because we have the concept that kohanim are generally more careful. And because they're more careful, chacham decided to trust them more. Okay, and finally, the last mile in the Mishnah was we said, in owning the Mechusi Kippurim, someone who either is in between, just lost a parent, but didn't do the burial yet, or someone who's a Mechusi Kippurim, someone who became Tahor, but just didn't bring a Karban yet. So in those situations, Rashi in the Mishnah pointed out, let's say you have a Zav, who went to the mikvah on the seventh day of his count, then he had sunset. The next day, he's got to bring a karbon, and he's called the Mechusi Kippurim. So he actually just went to the mikvah yesterday, and yet he wasn't fully tahor yet because he didn't bring his karbon. So after bringing his karbon, he's got to go to the mikvah again if he wants to eat kodesh. So the Gemara says over here, my taima, what's the reason? He just went to the mikvah like yesterday. Why is we know he's tahor. So the Gemara answers, because kivon da'ad ha'idna havi asiri, because up until now, meaning while he has the status of an onin or a mechus kippurim, it's usher for him to eat hektish, atzurchinin rabbanon l'tfila. When he gets out of that status, he has to do another tfila, go to the mikvah again, in order to become mutter to eat hektish. That's the maila. And Rashi points out, even though an onin, a mechus kippurim, are usher and meiser sheni, but they're mutter in truma. And therefore, which is a little bit counterintuitive, but that's why the Mishnah contrasts kodesh and truma. Because by an onin and mechusi kippurim, they're always mutter to truma. So they don't need to do something else to become mutter and truma afterwards. But since the onin and mechusi kippurim are usher to eat hektish while they have that status, when they come out of the status, the rabbanan made an extra stringency that required them to go to the mikvah again if they want to then eat hektish. Okay, we'll stop here at the next Mishnah.